Listeners, again, good morning. It's Myra Gleeson here, and my guest this morning is Sarah Costigan, who is the deputy director of that wonderful museum, the Little Museum of Dublin. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you very much for having me. How are you doing, Myra?
I'm not too bad at all. I just want to thank you very much for coming online this morning. I just want to ask you, on Friday, it's Culture Night, and are you having an event on Friday?
We are indeed, absolutely. I think Culture Night for the team in here is always probably one of the highlights of the year, if I'm honest. It's kind of something we're quite sentimental about. So the museum actually opened on Culture Night back in 2011. So not only is it a really big and exciting date in the kind of the city's calendar, but it's also our birthday.
So your birthday? Oh my goodness.
Our birthday.
And how old is...
We're celebrating.
Oh my goodness. Sorry, you've just taken me by surprise there. And how old is the museum?
So we opened in 2011, so it'll be our 8th birthday now on Friday coming. So I'm kind of, I've been sitting there thinking, what would I plan for an 8-year-old's birthday? And that's kind of, in terms of how I kind of recognise the day, that's something that's playing around in our head. But what we actually do for Culture Night is kind of a taster experience of the museum. So like last year we had nearly... I think it was about 850 people through the doors over the course of about 5.5 hours.
So oh, that's
very
extraordinary.
Well, on evening, but what we do is we bring guests in, they get to explore the building, they get to get a taster of a guided tour in the museum and to really get a sense of what the little museum is all about. So it's kind of, I think there's so many really wonderful things that are kind of available and open for the night around Stephen's Green. So it's lovely to see so many people, including us, within their trail on the evenings.
Oh, that, well, I have to say, I absolutely love the museum. And can you just tell the listeners exactly where you are?
Yeah, of course. So we're on 15 St. Stephen's Green, which is the north side of the green, just at the corner of Dawson Street.
And as people might know, I just love history, and I just love this idea. It's so simple, it's ingenious actually. And all the items in the museum, can you tell our listeners about all the items and the different collections? I believe they're donated.
Yes, absolutely, of course. So when the museum set up back in 2011, I guess it was set up as an idea that a small group of people really believed in, but we didn't necessarily have the facilities in place to immediately make it happen. So our city council, Dublin City Council, they gave us a short-term lease on two rooms in this building that we're in at the moment, and that allowed us to go out and do a public appeal and say to the people of Ireland, to the people of Dublin, we want to tell your story, please help us. So in the first 6 weeks, we got nearly 1,000 pieces donated to us by Dubliners to tell their story and to help us to tell the story of the city. And it's kind of...
I'm sorry for interrupting you. Just go back. You got how many pieces?
Nearly 1,000 pieces in 6 weeks. It's hard to believe. Absolutely. To be honest, the generosity, it was staggering and overwhelming. And it is something that I think... You know, when we were this tiny little startup, that was all of the hope and enthusiasm in the world. But perhaps
okay,
you had a bit of.
I'm just wondering, the staff and you as and the directors and everything else. You must have gone from absolutely being thrilled to bits to actually having a bit of a fright that you weren't expecting that much of those items. That's extraordinary.
Stand for that. Absolutely. It's a wonderful thing though, because over the course of that we had so many people coming in to give us pieces that were historically very significant. Like we've had an original proclamation on display here in the museum, we've got a first English edition of Joyce's Ulysses. So like we have pieces within the collection that are historically really very vital, but also we have stories of every man and everyday stories. Like it's one of my personal favourite things in the museum is an I've Seen Santa Switzer's badge, because it's something that just makes me smile every time I see it, because there's a sense of nostalgia that it creates.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true. And the museum, your head director, the wonderful Trevor White, are you and the team, are you still accepting items that would be added on to your own collections?
We do, absolutely. Like the way the museum works now is our collection is just over 5,000 pieces at this stage, if you'd believe that.
Oh my goodness. And can I ask you about your staff? Do you allow volunteers to participate, or are you relying on volunteers as well as donations and things like that?
It's. I think that's the nature of most of the kind of the realities of running a small cultural institution. We have a staggering group of volunteers who work with us to kind of realise the ambitions of the museum. Like, I think what the museum is really all about when it comes down to it is real people, real stories, real interaction, and just kind of the warmth of a welcome and a story and interaction. And we've got this incredible group of volunteers who would work with us every day of the week, and they're welcoming visitors, they're telling them about their favourite artefacts in the collection. Like, I'd have days I'd walk through the building and hear someone chatting about Game of Thrones, and you kind of, you know, it doesn't matter what you're talking to or talking about, but you're embodying that Cade Mealy-Fulch, you're embodying the welcome and the storytelling that Dublin is really known for.
Well, I think that's wonderful. Can you tell our listeners, please, how old is the house?
The house would be, gosh, the exact age has just left me.
Would it be the early 70s? So I heard once, now I don't know, I think it was my sister, that she's mad into the house. I think it was 1776 or 1775, around that time.
Correct. It's around that period. I was doubting myself and I didn't want to give you incorrect facts. But yeah, no, the house, it's funny, it's actually, I would think it probably is one of the greatest artefacts that the museum enables visitors to see. Like, when you walk through it, the kind of the architecture and the design and the kind of the features within it are just so special. But I think one thing we've really enjoyed over the last few years has also been learning a little bit about the house, about its history, about the life that it's had prior to us joining it. Like, it's one of the things that we discovered when we were doing a bit of research was the fact that back around the 1916 time period, we had a family called the Houston family living here. And it was kind of interesting to look at kind of what was going on historically in the city at that time, looking at, say, the tenements going across in Henrietta Street in contrast to the kind of the quality of life that was being lived on the green. And we had a family called the Houston family living in 15 Stevens Green. And back during the First World War, the two sons from the house, they actually lose their lives, unfortunately.
Oh, my goodness.
And then their dad dies. They say he died of a broken heart not too long after that. So then suddenly we can imagine we've the mother and the daughter living in the townhouse on the green in 1916, and suddenly conflict going on by the windows and what the reality of that life must have been like. And I think the records show they moved to the country pretty promptly thereafter. But we're looking back at that family. One thing a lot of our visitors find quite amusing to hear is the family, the father, a man called, he married his wife. They had a son, Francis, a daughter, Francis, and another son called Fred.
Oh my goodness! All Francis, all Fred, Frank, and Fred. Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Oh my goodness!
Poor Fred must have felt left out.
Oh heavens! I must just say a tiny little thing about my own family. My great grandfather, I don't know if he owned or rented 167 in Church Street, which was a tenement building, and I had my grandmother lived in Norking Street, and my uncle James, great uncle James, he lived in Halston Street. And we're talking about a triangle here. And but I absolutely love the museum, and I love the fact that the ceilings and the original plaster work and everything else is just wonderful. And I popped in there, and you have a new shop with the most amazing items and books and just so interesting, and like old fashioned toys for children. Would you like to tell our listeners about your latest exhibition as well on the ground floor?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you said, we've just brought in and created a new bookshop in the last couple of months, which is into the front gallery of the ground floor of the museum, and it's something we're having an awful lot of fun with, because we've had visitors coming in and saying, you know, we've enjoyed the museum, but we want takeaways that are reflective of the collection, and that's something that I'm kind of hopeful that we're currently creating. Then, kind of, when a visitor comes into our shop, the next place, then the first gallery that they enter when they're visiting the museum, is, as you said, our temporary space, which is currently on exhibition called The Golden Age of Dublin. So this is an exhibition which tells the story of James Moulton, the Moulton Prince of Dublin, which were in around the late 1790s, I think it was. He comes to Dublin and creates these beautiful images of the city. They've since been colourised, but the kind of the visual idea of Georgian Dublin from its living time as we know it today is really inspired and captured in these images. So it is kind of a very insightful way for us to look at that period in history and to kind of see, okay, where has our history of Georgian Dublin come from? Because I think as you wander around our building, you get to see some really stunning Georgian architecture, but then to also contextualise it in the temporary exhibition, that's something that I think has worked really very, very nicely. Like the ground floor gallery in the museum, we would use as a temporary exhibition space that would change maybe 3 to 4 times a year, and just it lets us look at nuanced and smaller chapters of the city's life, and I think that's what we're currently very proud to be doing with Moulton.
Well, I think it's an amazing exhibition. I know you also had an aviation, the history of aviation in Ireland a while ago. And when I popped in, I actually wanted to steal everything that was in that exhibition. It was so good. Don't tell anybody that. I just want to ask...
Sorry, just to cut in on you on that, I apologise. The Wings of Ireland, the aviation exhibition you're talking about there, it was something that, it was a subject that all of us in here were always fascinated by and kind of thought, there's such a great story to tell there. Like, there's some amazing contributions that we've made to the world of kind of aviation. And so when we started to curate the idea, the support for it was huge. But then when it opened, the amount of people that have had a response similar to yourself have been incredible. Like, we ended up, that is the longest extended exhibition we've ever run. We always kind of, you know, if visitors keep wanting to come, we'll keep an exhibition running a week or two longer perhaps. But this one, I think we extended it 3 times because we literally had people ringing going,
oh,
I live in
God.
London, if I come on this date, will it still be open? And it was quite a wonderful, really, truly wonderful one.
But Sarah, you had the amazing Lillian Bland, the first woman in the world to design, build and fly an airplane. You had the most wonderful display of her and the other, and I'm not sure if listeners know, but Lillian actually grew up outside, just outside Belfast. But the whole exhibition was an extraordinary, extraordinary event. I'm going to ask you one other thing. When on Culture Night, what time are you opening, or are you just staying open and continuing from your daily hours on Friday?
So we'll be continuing. So the museum, our last tour during the day normally is at 5 o'clock, and so what we'll do is probably have a quick cup of tea in the with the team, but then kind of about just after 5 o'clock we're going to kick off for the evening, and the tour is basically every 15 minutes. Our plan is that there's a tour starting every 15 minutes over the course of the evening until about 9 o'clock, and so we kind of, I think the nature of it is, and I think it's probably the same in most venues for the evening, it does get incredibly busy. So we always say to visitors, if they're sure that it's something that they definitely want to come into the museum, pop it early in your evening rather than later on.
Perfect. Now, can I just ask you to... Sorry, Sarah. I beg your pardon.
No, go ahead.
Is it going to be free that evening, or is there a small...
Absolutely.
Yeah, wow. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you've stunned me. It's my favourite word, free.
Yeah.
You've actually stunned me. That's wonderful. And that's actually wonderful. And will you be looking for extra volunteers? Will all your staff be asked to come in on Friday to help out?
It's It's an all hands on deck evening, absolutely. It's kind of as I would always think about it, it's very much the more the merrier. I think it's one of the busier nights or busier days in the museum in the year, every year, but it's just such great fun. I remember last year, the year before, I remember getting into a particularly fun conversation with a group of guests who were waiting to go up to their tour. Like, I take the very boring job of kind of numbers and fire safety and all of that on the evening, but I remember chatting to a group of visitors in the hall who were waiting to make their way to the gallery upstairs, and one of the men kind of goes, "I'm a really good singer. I'm kind of bored. Can I sing you a song?" And then we suddenly had this group of 15 people standing there together singing songs on the top of their lungs. I remember Trevor, my colleague who you mentioned earlier, who was doing a tour upstairs, I remember him turning around to me later on and going, "Did you ask people to sing for the evening, or did it just evolve naturally?" And this lovely moment happened, and you couldn't plan it if you tried, but it's just, we're very lucky with the way people interact with the museum.
Oh, that's absolutely amazing. There's two things I just want to tell our listeners. Last year, you were voted number one museum for TripAdvisor, which is an extraordinary achievement. And on a Friday, normally on a Friday, I have seen it advertised. You have a Georgian evening or an event every Friday?
Yeah. So we've just been developing this new experience over the summer called the Georgian House Party. So it starts at 6 o'clock every evening. It's kind of, we like to think of it as kind of the perfect start to an evening in the city. So we've partnered with Santa Rita Wines on it, and what we're doing is we're inviting you into the townhouse and kind of immersing you in Georgian Dublin for a period of time. So you come in and you meet your host lives from the Georgian time, and she will host you for the evening.
Oh, wonderful.
In kind of a Georgian experience, and it's actually really, truly great fun. It's something we're really proud of, and I think it's something that has potential to become something that we run long term and become really excited for guests to come in and enjoy. So actually, it's 6 o'clock every Friday, and it is something that we'd love to see more people into.
Well, I'm going to do that, but I'm going to be there on Culture Night as well, and I won't sing a song, but I certainly will be there, and I personally think it is the most brilliant idea, and I encourage everyone in Dublin that to go and see the museum, and if they have anything that is quite extraordinary, a book or something that relates to all of our Dublin history, please go into the museum and see if they could put it into their archives and display it. I just want to say, Sarah, thank you very much for coming on this morning and telling us all about the most wonderful museum, the Little Museum of Dublin. And on that note, I'm going to say thank you very much and the very best of luck. And I will see you on Friday. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Oh, thank you for all your support. We really appreciate it.
Not at all. You take care now. Bye now.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye now.